still talking. Hey, yo. Oh, yeah. Okay. Welcome to the One Player Podcast, the show on solitaire board games. I'm your host, Albert, and this is episode 332.
Albert, if you were afraid of bullets before, just wait till the end of this podcast. Then they'll be in your caliber.
Hi, Julius. My caliber? They wish they were of my caliber. Bullets got nothing on me, let me tell you.
Hello, Albert. How are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you, Julius?
Doing quite well, quite well. So today we are going to be talking about bullets.
And it's not just one game, it's a collection of games, right?
I would say it's a series of games. The game originally began with Bullet Heart, was the first one that released. There have been successive releases, so there's Bullet Heart, there's Bullet Star and Orange, and now there's coming up, there's Paw and Palette, but they're all the same system, just the characters are different. It's kind of like with Arkham Horror, where you have a system and then different characters can plug into it, so it's the same kind of thing. The way Bullet works, it's designed to re-implement a sort of board game version of a bullet hell game, a shoot-em-up game, where there's a whole bunch of bullets coming at you and you sort of have to respond to them by ducking out of the way or shooting the back, whatever the specific video game feel is that you're looking for. But it's supposed to represent that. Specifically, it's the cute-em-up version of the game because all of the people are magical girls.
Okay.
But that is the thematics of it. In terms of how you're playing, you are pulling bullet tokens from the bag and trying to arrange them on your 5x6 board, on your board in front of you, to try and make patterns that match a deck of cards and use your actions to move those bullets around. If you make a pattern that matches, you get to clear it and shoot it back theoretically at the other players or at the boss if you're playing solo or co-op. And if you fail to make a pattern of one and you get too many of them, you take a hit. Your goal is to defeat the boss before you lose all of your hearts.
Okay. That sounds straightforward enough.
It pretty much is.
Okay. So wow. So that's going to be, it sounds like it's going to be a really short podcast if that's it. We're done.
I don't know about that, but that was just the very least the quick oversight. Perhaps we should go into things with a little bit less speed.
Okay.
The game, just as an introduction topic point, the game has in its rules that you're supposed to play it with a timer. There's a timer that's going on. There's a number of different thematic timers that they've released to YouTube to add music into them. When I'm playing the game, I often will just ignore strictly to timer. I'll usually play within it, but the timer is just to sort of keep the game moving and not have people sitting thinking and agonizing over it. But for most of the people I play with, they get too frustrated with having a timer counting away at their time, so they don't like playing with it. So I've sort of adopted that.
Okay. So this game, you said it's based on it's a bullet hell game, which I'd never heard the term before. And so I just Googled it while you were talking. It's basically a shoot 'em up kind of game where you get overwhelming number of enemies and you're just going crazy shooting everything.
Yeah. There's lots of bullets coming in at you, and your job is to dodge out of the way and respond.
Do you know of any of these games specifically offhand?
Into the Gungeon.
Okay, I'll have to look it up. So I guess the timer is there to simulate the overwhelming feeling of the game. I assume that
it's supposed to add sort of that stress and tension to it. But I feel like the game is a little bit more accessible when you just simply say, let's play with the spirit of the timer and not the strict timer itself.
The spirit of the timer. Is there a timer in the room?
It helps. It helps. It helps make everyone feel more at ease with the game. So that's how we do it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that sounds good. Good, because I'm not a big fan of timer games, as you know. So that sounds better for me.
And I think that was the main reason why it is that I was mentioning it to you.
Yeah. So I thought this was based on a specific video game. I didn't realize it was just it was a genre that it was simulating. I had no idea.
No, it is a genre that simulated. They made their own characters and things about it, with the exception of Bullet Orange.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
Well, Bullet Orange is essentially a cameo set of characters from other fiction.
Okay. So we should mention there's two base games, and Bullet Orange then is an expansion, right? There's Bullet Heart and Bullet Star. Those are the base games. Bullet Orange is an expansion. And when we say Star and Heart and Orange, we're not writing out the word Star or Heart or Orange. it's a star symbol or a heart symbol, like an emoji, or a little round orange.
Which, if you search for it by the name star with it written out, you'll still find it.
You will find it, but yeah, but don't look on the shelves looking for the word star, because you won't find it. Which is, it's cool and annoying in a way, I think. But I'm glad it is at least searchable.
I don't think it's annoying as long as it's really easy to find. If it would be hard to find, it would be an issue. But the fact that you can literally type bullet star, bullet heart, and it takes you right to the right place, it's not a problem.
So if you were to follow these on your shelf alphabetically, would you put the star after S? Or would you organize the symbols differently? Like the star go after heart? Or before heart?
I would put the star after heart if I were organizing my shelves alphabetically, but I don't organize my shelves alphabetically. What are you, a monster?
No, I don't do them alphabetically either.
Organize games by the similar shape, of course.
By shape, yes. And sometimes theme. But mostly
yes,
by
Dylan,
shape.
What's up? I can't hear you.
I'm missing Pokemon Sword.
I don't know where it is. Is it still by Uncle Yitzi or did you lose it?
What do you mean still by Uncle Yitzi?
No, you got another copy of it. You should be missing it.
It's not in here.
Do we have a copy of it?
Yes, okay. I've played it before.
I'm not able to handle it right now. I don't know where it is.
It's a tantrum. That's so funny. Well, that'll fix it.
Onwards. So, shall we hop into the components, Albert?
Yeah, let's do that. And are the components the same for each of the base games, I guess, basically?
So the components are the same for each of the base games. Essentially what it is there's a whole bunch of these circle tokens, the bullets, and all of them are printed either in numbers, or excuse me, a number, 1 through 4, and a color. So there's blue, orange, blue, red, green, yellow, and pink. And so the color and the color will indicate what column it goes on, and the number indicates how far down on that column it goes. So your job is to denote where it is that you're putting it and put it there when you pull it out. Everyone will have a bag and they're going to have all their bullets mixed up in their bag. And you'll be pulling those bullets out of your bag and then putting on your central board. So everyone has that central board as well. In addition, each character has two sideboards that sort of lock on to the generic main board. There's going to be a board that shows their special player power and how many hearts they have, so how much life they have. And then there'll be a board on the right that will track how much action points they have, as well as what they can spend those action points on. Most of the players have printed actions that they're printed on the board that show how much they can have. Some of the characters break the rules in certain unique and interesting ways, but that's the general layout of how that board works. Everyone is going to have a token that they'll use to track how much action points they have, and everyone's going to have a deck of cards that will show patterns. And again, you're trying to pull out those bullets, put them on the board, to show the patterns it is that you have. Those patterns, there's a little reference card that shows how those patterns, what the symbology for those patterns are. And there's all sorts of different symbologies, like if it has to have specifically yellow, or specifically a 4, or specifically an empty spot, things like that. And each of those patterns will also show when you make that pattern, which bullets will clear. So for example, one of the characters has one where if you have a yellow and then a blank, the three ones below it, below that pattern, will all be cleared. And cleared means you get to remove it from your board and then pass it to the boss or to the other players if you're playing. When you're playing against a boss altogether, there's these extra actions. There's some tiles that you can put on your action board that show extra tiles you have for being cooperative. When you're playing competitive, there's some power-up tiles that theoretically you're racing to try and grab to also level up your main board. The bosses will have shield markers that will show their health, because essentially you'll be trying to throw bullets at them. If you get enough, you break one of their shields. If you remove all their shields, then you win the game. There's one giant bag that holds all the tokens that aren't in use, because over the course of the game, you're going to be grabbing more and more and more out of those. And that's all the components that there are.
Okay.
Oh, there's also an intensity track, which shows when you're playing not against the boss. I keep forgetting about the non-boss versions and stuff. When you're playing against the non-boss, the game gets more intense because every round you're going to be pulling more and more tokens out of the middle of the bag, so there's going to be more tokens flying around.
And so when you say there's a non-boss version, that's where you're fighting against each other or PvP sort of thing?
Yeah, when you're playing PvP, when you're playing, it's even, it's the basic way of playing, where you pull out tokens and then you clear them and send them to the other players, and theoretically that causes them to have more bullets coming at them that they then have to clear. That makes them more likely to have too many tokens than they can clear and get hit. And when they get hit, they go down, and then if you're the last person standing, you win. The more common way that I play is against one of the bosses, when every character can be flipped over, and then they have a special set of cards that go with their boss version. So you flip over their two sideboards and it enhances what it is that you play against them, and then you have to beat them up and clear their shields to be able to win the game in a cooperative or a solo version.
Gotcha, okay. And there's other ways to play, right? There's also some sort of solo beat your own score thing.
There is a solo beat your own score mode. It's the score attack. It's essentially you're playing just to keep going and not die. There's no competition against other players. It's you just don't do the boss battle one. You're just playing to see what round you get to. It plays exactly like the basic one. I don't like it, so I wasn't even mentioning it.
Okay. Enough said then. Sorry I brought it up.
I nearly forgot about it. Because it's not exciting. It's not exciting that when you don't have that boss, if I'm playing solo, I want to play with the boss. Frankly, if I'm playing multiplayer, I generally want to play with the boss.
That makes sense, yeah. That sounds more interesting anyway.
Yeah, much.
And is that other mode, is it a campaign sort of thing then where you play multiple games in a row or something like that? Or?
No, there's no campaign mode. You just play a game and see how you do against the boss.
Okay. Okie doke. It seems like the art for each character is different. It's a completely different art style in some cases.
I don't think it's intended to be a completely different art style.
Okay, then maybe it's just one or two So I'm trying to look at the pictures on BGG, and there's not a ton of great pictures to browse through all the games. And, like, one picture I saw had a character that looked very different. And this is in Bullet Star. So they're more or less the same style, just sometimes they may be different.
So they're more or less the same style. They all generally have the same style. One of the things that, especially if you're doing a search for it, that may cause some confusion is that during the most recent Kickstarter, instead of using money to advertise, they used a bunch of money to buy art of various different styles and just went with that instead. It's not part of the game. It's just they wanted to do that instead of advertising. So it came with a whole bunch of different interesting pieces of art, but it's not part of the game. It's just all around.
Gotcha. Okay. And when you say they, it is...
Level 99 Games.
Level 99 Games and designed by Joshua Van Lennenham.
So with regard to my thoughts about the components, it's a bunch of cardboard in a bag. I find that the components would get beat up a whole lot, especially because it's sort of frantic. So the tokens are fine, but they're cardboard in a bag, and there's a lot of mixing around that happens. So the tokens get beat up a whole bunch. I did upgrade mine with their deluxe tokens. You can use their deluxe tokens where instead of being cardboard, it's wood printed discs. And I find that a lot nicer to use, a lot more enjoyable to use. So I recommend the deluxe ones. It's not a requirement, though.
Yeah, it sounds good. And when you say the game beat up a lot, is that even when you're playing without the timer?
Because there's a lot of shaking that just happens with a whole bunch of cardboard in the bag.
Okay.
Yeah. Even without a timer. The timer is just indicative of how fast you have to do it. But just because you have a whole bunch of tokens that you're constantly throwing at each other, it tends that the tokens get some wear of doing that.
Gotcha. Okay. You said all the characters are heroines. They're all female characters. Is that true for the villains also?
All the villains are use this term, evil, but really opposing version of themselves. The backstory for some of them, you are playing as an evil person. Like one of the characters is a photographer who has a demon stuck in her camera, and she's stealing souls by taking pictures of people. And then on her good side, she's managed to implement her final plan, which is turn everyone into demon zombies to take over the world. And it's up to us to break her camera and stop her.
That's funny.
So,
okay.
Yeah. You're not necessarily always playing good guys.
Gotcha. Okay. That's interesting. So you're not. So the box calls them heroines, but I guess it's not necessarily the case.
Everyone is a heroine of their own story, maybe?
I guess so. There we go.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why they're necessarily called heroines, other than it's the name of it. But, like, one of them is an assassin who's trying to kill everyone with her long-range rifle. Another one is a person who plays an orchestra and really just wants to be left alone, but has the ability to send out this music to damage anybody who messes with her, so don't knock on her door. Another one is a ghost that's possessed a crippled girl.
So, and you said the flip side is like their evil side. So is it more evil or anti-evil?
I don't know. I don't know okay. How you consider it, because it's just opposing. It's opposing. It's usually like souped up, I'm going to get everyone version. But the story is the same on either side. So I don't know. Even good and evil are very unclear topics in this game.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I do appreciate that they're going to make you think a little bit about it, I guess. Potentially.
Only if you read all the stories.
Yeah.
Totally optional.
Yeah, because it seems like if you don't, the game is otherwise rather light on theme, I think. That's the impression I get anyway.
I would say that probably about many shoot 'em up games. Like, why do we have bullets shooting between us? I don't know. It's a fun game.
Fair enough. Okay. I'll stop asking silly questions then.
Yeah, you have to kind of like, you have to use your imagination to justify why these people are in a battle and sort of make stuff up. And that's fine. That's fun. Like some of them, it's like, she knocked on my door. I hate it when people knock on my door. I'm going to kill her.
I mean, that's what I do.
I hope not.
You know, they might be trying to sell me stuff, so better to just take care of it first and then ask later.
So, moving back to components, because I hadn't quite finished with the components section.
Okay.
The components. So there are those tokens. Those tokens are very clear of themselves, what they are and how they work. There's one more aspect to them, which is a star. Many of the bullets have a star on them that you can use to be able to trigger additional bonus actions that you can get. So if you clear a star, you'll often get an action point bonus, things like that. Those stars, especially as you're moving through things very fast, are relatively easy to miss. I have no idea how to fix that problem, but it is, in my opinion, something that happens frequently enough that I wish there was a fix.
Yeah, I could see what you're saying, because I was looking at a photo of the game set up for four players, and I'm looking and said, I don't see any stars in any of these woods. What's he talking about? Finally, I realized that it's basically where the number is, the color's inverted, and it just wasn't obvious.
Yeah. It's very not obvious. I wish there would be some, like, shiny, you know, foiling to that star or something to make that pop much better. But would it have detracted from the rest of the game if it did that? I don't know. But something would have been made that nicer to me, just to make sure that's very clear. Because quite often I'm playing with people like, oh my gosh, I've thrown like four bullets at them. I forgot to check for stars when I do it. And then they're like, well, let me just mess with it and give myself some extra points. And I'm like, sure, fine, it's whatever. Just go ahead, play, keep going. But it'd be nice if it were more obvious.
I'm guessing that was on purpose for playing with the timer to make it to add to the franticness.
I don't like that.
I think so. Well, yeah, I know, but get a Sharpie and you could fix them. Just draw a ring around them that's really bold, or along the edges of the wooden tokens or something.
The last comment I want to make is about the cards for the patterns. So as mentioned, there's an iconography explainer for what the different icons on the patterns mean and how they work. It is very common, and this might be an issue with the rules, it is very common that it takes a number of visual explanations to explain how those patterns work and what those things mean, and sort of to decrypt them for players. They're not immediately intuitively obvious. Once you understand how to decrypt them, you can do it very fast. especially because for your character, there's only 10, and they're generally all in a theme. So once you figured out how that theme is working, you're able to sort of work through all of them. But it requires explanation and decrypting. Again, I don't know if there's anything that can be done about that. It's just sort of the overhead that is required to be able to play the game. So walk into that with eyes open.
Gotcha, yeah. Which would be really hard if you're playing with a timer the first game.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I recommend not doing it.
I could see that, okay. Second, third game, it's probably a lot easier.
For sure.
You play the same character, yeah. Okay.
For sure.
The bag is also really small. You're drawing stuff out of the bag, you said. Do you find that a pain, or...?
Well, my hands are big, so as with many times, I've upgraded with bags from BGG, so I have the round bottom bags. And then the big cloth, the big center bag, the big white one, I'm still using theirs for that one because that doesn't get a lot of movement and stuff. And it's huge. But the...
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, but the black bags that every individual player uses, I've upgraded those with some bags from BGG.
Ah, okay. It actually looks... The white bag looks small in the picture I'm looking at. That's interesting.
No, the white bag is huge.
Oh, yeah, the picture I'm looking at is the same size as the black bags.
No, it's not. It's like twice the size of the black bags, maybe even larger.
This must have been a promo shot. That's what it looks like, actually.
Could be. So let's move on to the rules, eh?
Okay, let's do it.
So the rules, it's a relatively short rule book. As mentioned, the game isn't too complicated of a game. The game starts off by explaining how to do the basic version of the game. So with no boss, you're just fighting with the other players. It certainly takes me a good minute to figure out how it is that it's playing. Probably, in my opinion, that's because of the method they used for setting it up. Many games, when they're explaining their rules, they're going to explain to you in a time in a chronological fashion for what is happening and how it's going on. They are trying to do that chronological fashion, but they're using it by denoting it with different colors. So like reds mean that these are options and blue means that this is the next thing. And if there would have been just a little bit more things that would say thing to do, option to do in those subtitles would have made it a bit clearer for me as I was learning the game to begin with, just because of the amount of distance between them as they go into something and then you have a bunch of explanations for it. Then you back up to, wait, where's the youth tower is? It was interesting. It's fine. We figured it out. Then the game goes on and it says, and here's other different ways that you can play. And then it goes through it. This almost feels like Albert's complaint a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to reintegrate the solo rules back into the rest of the game to figure out what to do. It gives you the chronological version of what you do each round when you're playing regular. And then it says, if you want to play the boss battle version, here's the changes that are used to that chronological one. In step two, instead of doing this, do this and this. In step four, do this and this and this. And then in step five and six, these two changes are made to both of those. I'm like, why couldn't you, like, say, here's the new steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
Probably you could even list the two steps side by side and just have the rules once. I bet you the differences aren't even that big.
They really aren't that big, but they just don't. They just don't list it in terms of the gameplay rounds. They say, more specific, it's like, make sure to throw in an extra pattern step. Don't do this option step. You don't do the increasing intensity step. And you do this extra step of cleaning up their things and breaking shields. But like...
It sounds like it's an afterthought on their part. Like, oh, we never actually wanted to play this way, but people seem to want it, so we're going to add this.
I highly doubt it is, just because of the amount of extra components that were included for it. But yeah, I would have preferred an extra page dedicated to the boss battle rules.
Yeah, that makes sense. I dislike it when you got to learn the rules and then figure out the changes. That is such a frustrating way to learn a game.
Especially because in the first one, they had the pages left to do it and chose to do other stuff and other methods of doing stuff. They added in a whole page for a single paragraph on a brief history of the universe. Oh, wow. I just filled the page with that. And every time I see that, I'm like, well, why? Why do it this way?
Wow. Okay. All right. So that's a big knock against it.
In my opinion, yeah, I'm aware of your issues with it, and I'm echoing it this time.
You'll this come around. Time.
So, having gone into all of that, shall we go over some of the gameplay elements?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I already mentioned the idea that this is technically a timed game. I don't make it a timed game. I just play in the spirit of the time of the timer so that you keep things moving. On your turn, first thing you're going to do is you're going to pull out a bullet from the bag. It will have a color, which will denote which color on the board you have. So the board has five different columns. It's going to be the red, the pink, the blue, the yellow, and the green. So first thing you'll do is you'll sort of find the column that matches the bullet that you're at. Then the bullet will have a number. You will count open spaces from the top and then put your bullet in that one. So if your column is entirely open and it says a 3, for example, you'll put it there. But if you're counting spaces, you find that there's two bullets in the first and second space, then you'll end up having to put it in the fifth space because that's the third open spot. Since there's only 6 spaces on the board, the highest bullet there is a 4. So if you pull a 4 and there's already 3 spaces filled, that bullet will immediately jump all the way to the bottom row. On the bottom row, there's a set of arrows that sort of point to the left that will then terminate with the heart spots on your character's left board. So if it jumps all the way down to there, it immediately shoots over to your heart. That's a hit. I normally make a rule that you have to say, ouch, nice and loud, so everybody knows that you've been hit. Because otherwise everyone's going crazy on their own board and nobody knows these things, and it's more fun when you know. So you make an announcement, say, ouch, and you put that bullet over on your heart space to show you've taken a hit, and so it's out of the game. Otherwise, you'll just put it in there, and you can keep going and pull as many bullets as you want. You will have, and these are the general rules, and again, some characters break these rules, but you will have 3 patterns that are going to be face up, sort of like your hand, just don't hold it in your hand. You'll have 3 patterns that are face up. Most of the characters will have actions that they can use to move bullets around their board. So I mentioned before that you want to have a yellow with a blank spot below it, and then 3, theoretically, up the 3 bullets below it, because you want to clear as much as you can with a single pattern usage. So you'll move bullets around using your actions to line up the perfect pattern to clear as much as you want. When you have them all lined up, theoretically, you will stop drawing for a second. Show to yourself, because you're not telling anybody else. Nobody else is checking you. But sort of like announce to yourself, hey, I have this pattern complete. Take off any of the bullets that are clear. Pass them to the next player or put them over in the boss area. Discard that pattern and continue playing. In general, you only have those 3 patterns that you can do. So that's why you want to really maximize the amount that you're clearing with every pattern, because otherwise you'll use up all of your patterns and won't have anything else left to clear, and you'll just end up drowning in a storm of bullets. Some of the characters have extra abilities to clear extra bullets or draw extra cards or other shtick that they can do. So many of them have their own special way that they break the rules, but that's sort of the general overarching ideas. Pull bullets from the bag, place them on your board, move those bullets around, clear them with your pattern, keep going. When the timer ends, if you're playing this way, or just whenever people are like, you're taking too long, just pull them all out, you're done. You pull out all of your tokens from the bag, and then they just get put down, and you can no longer play any more patterns. Usually this is a penalty. We say that if you're the last one going, and you still are like, I'm going very slow because I'm considering them all, we're going to be like, no, you're not. You're out of time. Next time, respect the spirit of the timer. You will continue doing that, taking those bullets, placing them on clearing patterns until you're out. And as mentioned, when you're out, you just finish them off. You'll then have an end phase where you essentially clean up, check if anyone's dead. If they're dead, they go out. If theoretically 2 people go out at the same round, as soon as you go out, as soon as you have too many hearts, you stop pulling from the bag. And then the tiebreaker server has the least amount of bullets left in their bag. you'll continue pulling out of the bag, you'll continue doing those rounds. Everyone at the end of the round will restore their action points, will restore their cards, so redraw back up to a full hand of three, retake up to a new action points limit of seven for most of the characters, and then you'll continue going on. Every round, some additional tokens will come out of the bag and get stuck in each player's cards. Under boss mode, it's based on whatever the boss mode rules are. Under regular mode, it's just the intensity keeps happening, so it's up with four, and then five, and then six, and then seven. Because bullets are not leaving the system, it's a closed system, that means that there's going to be more bullets flying around as the game gets later and later and more intense. So that's how we'll all go, and everyone will continue along and trying to not lose.
Okay. It didn't sound too complicated. I did get a little bit lost. You said with the bullet track, you draw bullets from the bag and you put them on there, filling from the top down, counting down empty spaces. And when a bullet hits that bottom row with the arrows on it, that's when you're doing damage, or is that when you're taking damage?
Yeah, that's when you take a damage, and then it shoots over to the left and then marks as one of the damage.
Gotcha. Okay. To the left. I see. Yeah. Okay. So it hits your character. So you're taking damage. So you're trying to avoid bullets. That's a little confusing, I guess. So you're not drawing tokens to do damage. You're drawing tokens to avoid taking damage.
Drawing tokens to do damage, because the way you do damage is you pull tokens from them, and then you pull tokens out of the bag, and then you put it out, and then you can theoretically clear patterns to keep going on to the next person. So it's a running cycle. They're dealing damage. They're trying to deal damage to you by overwhelming you with tokens, but you want to take those tokens in, deal with them, and then send them back along.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. So you're not just drawing tokens and putting them on your board over and over. Yeah, that's what I was confused.
No, because they're getting, when you clear them, you send them on to the next person and try and overwhelm them.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's frantic. A lot of bullets flying everywhere, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of bullets flying everywhere. It is, to me, I really enjoy the game because there is a puzzle aspect for it. There's a lot of thought that goes into where to put those puzzles. How do you want to stage things? Can you see how to match your pattern in the most efficient way possible to be able to clear the most amount of tokens, of bullets, on a turn? That puzzle, that thought that goes into that is very rewarding for me, because you can really see when you're doing it, and when you figure out how to finally work it out, you could do that, and you have a limited amount of time to be able to work it out, and I very much enjoy that. But at the same turn, it keeps moving. It's a fast-flowing game. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of high energy going on here. So it's a very fun game to be able to play through that and enjoy.
Gotcha. Okay. One more confusion I have is it sounded like you're drawing tokens and you don't have a choice where to put them. They have to go into a specific spot.
Correct. In general, that's true.
Where is the choice coming from?
So the choice is that you have actions that allow you to move around your tokens.
Okay.
And you have to use a limited amount of actions in the most efficient way possible to figure out how to match your patterns. And your patterns will often be flexible. Like, it may just require a token of any type in a spot. Or it may allow you to move yellows. Like, there's multiple places where you can move your yellows. So you have to be as efficient as possible with your patterns and with your actions to be able to clear as many bullets as possible.
Gotcha. Okay, that does make sense. Yeah, I guess I'd missed that action thing. It is overwhelming, even just hearing all the rules. It's like, oh, yeah, there's a lot going on, but it isn't too much. Are you drawing one token at a time or a bunch at a time and then choosing which order you play them or what?
No, you draw a token, put it out. Draw a token, put it out. You can stop drawing when you want to clear patterns, but token, put it out. Token, put it out.
And then you're putting out and potentially sending them to your opponent who now has to put them on their board?
When you draw it, first thing that happens is you draw from the bag and then put it on your board, and then you can pause drawing from your bag for a second to use patterns to send them to your opponent.
And then what does your opponent do at that point? They have to pause.
They'll
what they're
hold
doing?
Them until next round, and then next round they'll all go into their bags. Their bag will be bigger next round.
So your bag gets smaller. You may run out of tokens, and they're still having to do more tokens.
Yeah, that's the goal, is you want to overwhelm them and keep your bag light.
Gotcha. Because So since it's a, if you're playing in the timer mode, then everybody, like, well, if you're not playing timer mode, are you taking turns drawing from the bag or what?
No, it's all just goes.
Like a slower person would not feel their board very quickly and not take much damage.
It's not a matter of taking it quickly because each round you have to clear your bag. It may just be that someone's going to take an extra minute to clear their bag. And, you know, everyone either has to agree to just let that happen and let someone go a bit slower, but they'll have to clear their bag every round. If you run out of patterns, you just have to draw them and hope you don't die.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's not really, I thought it was also simultaneous action, but it is, I guess, but it isn't in that you could also just do it sequentially and everybody watch one person take, and it wouldn't make any difference.
Correct.
Right? If you want, you're not really interacting. Correct. Other than between rounds, when you're saying, here, take all my tokens, thank you.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I could see why you wouldn't want to do a time then. It seems like it'd work just fine. The timer just makes you go quickly and stress out.
The timer adds extra stress and adds extra adrenaline.
Yeah.
But it doesn't add anything else to it. So it is what it is. Mm-hmm. That's why I just feel it's not necessary. It adds that adrenaline that you have in those type of shoot 'em up games, because those type of shoot 'em up games have... they have that around. They have everything happening in real time, so they want it to mimic that. But I just know that doesn't work nearly as well for the pinch-shorting people I play with, so I just don't do it. And we really enjoyed doing it this way.
Gotcha. But I also guess, I assume the game is balanced for that kind of franticness, and there's assumptions you're going to make mistakes. So if you're taking your time, you're going to tend to win more often.
That's what I'm saying. We play with the spirit of the rules in that you shouldn't be taking your time and sitting thinking everything out. If someone is, I'll enforce a timer on them. Be like, you're not playing with the spirit. Play with the spirit, and we're going to enforce the rules.
Go quick. We're not going to have a timer, but go quick anyway, yes. So a little slower. Okay, still seems like you have more thinking time, so potentially you're going to play a little better. Which is fine. You know, sometimes that's just fine. If you win, say, 80% of the time instead of 60, you're still having fun going through the puzzles, I bet.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, for boss mode, there isn't a timer. And I normally play with the timer for it anyway, because I enjoy that.
And, how different do all the characters feel?
Very different. All of them break rules in very different ways. They all feel very different. I can start going through and explaining some of the differences in how they break rules. Like I'm talking about how you clear patterns with making a pattern. One of the characters doesn't have patterns that clear. She will move all of her bullets when she makes a pattern. And if you move it off the edge of the board, that clears it. Another player, when you clear one, she pulls an extra token. And the number on that token is how many tokens you get to clear. Another person, when she clears, instead of clearing, she puts them face down and changes the color of them. And then that color she's immune to, and she has a shield. So ones that come at her, she moves those on a lot. They're all very different.
Wow. Okay. So as you describe it, I have a hard time imagining how it changes the feel of the character. I get that they work differently, but is it still just a puzzle you're trying to figure out, or does one feel more tactical or more fast or something?
They all feel the same sort of puzzle of moving around tokens to be able to do what you want, but the way they interact with them very much changes by character.
Okay. Do you have some that you prefer over the others?
I can't think of them.
Okay. Okay. So they're all different, but in a way they're also all the same, because none is necessarily more fun, or I don't know. Okay, that's it. It's interesting. Anyway, I like it. It sounds like interesting.
I highly recommend it. I'm all in on it. I've really enjoyed playing both the competitive modes. I've liked playing the standard mode. The game plays really fast. Like, I can play a solo game about 20 minutes. Multiplayer, it's like a less than 30 minute game, and just to get it out and play. So
because you're playing simultaneously.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Very cool. Very cool. And there is currently two games and two expansions and promos and stuff like that. And there's more on the way, and they're still developing stuff. Okay. Very cool. It sounds like a neat game. And it sounds like it's a hit solo and it's a hit multiplayer.
All right. I got to jet on out of here, Albert.
All right. See you then. Goodbye, everybody. Shoot. Got to go.
All righty. Bye-bye, Albert.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening. We love feedback, so we love hearing from you. You can reach me at julius@oneplayerpodcast.com or jlbird on BGG, and Albert can be reached at albert@oneplayerpodcast.com or fractaloon on BGG. Our website is oneplayerpodcast.com with the number one, and we're also on Twitter at oneplayerpodcast. The intro music is copyright Angus, can be found at jamendo.com. The transition music is copyright by Dan Elduche Pancaldi, whose page is at danpancaldi.com. The One Player Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons share-alike license. Thanks for listening.